Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Rosie Baker, I'm the editor of Ad News, and I'm here with Rachel Micholef. And we've got joining us this morning Jules Hall, founder of The Hallway, and Gabriella Conlon, head of consumer marketing at Google. You come from obviously a digital background at Google, and Jules, you're from the kind of creative side. But how do the two things mesh, and what do you kind of see as the most important things that you're seeing on a daily basis that are changing how you work in creative?
You've launched us off with a huge question.
Yeah, if you could just answer that in a 60-second
nugget.
I guess I think digital is such an exciting playground in the advertising space. And I guess it's because we think a lot at Google about building truly digital ideas, where digital is actually at the heart of the creative idea. And it's sort of an analog idea kind of put on a digital channel, but it's actually something that you could only create in a digital space. Yeah,
it's one of those things that's very easy to say, like building a digital idea, but I think that it's been sort of talked about for a long time. Digital itself isn't new, but it's only kind of probably recently, in the last maybe couple of years, that those ideas really have begun to be designed for digital and not just tacked on.
Yeah, it's interesting. So we were chatting earlier, and I first moved into digital in 2000, so that gives you a clue as to how old I am. And when I started working in this agency, the term digital didn't exist. So I worked at, I think we called it internet marketing something, blah, blah, blah. But it's been really interesting watching how digital has evolved over that time. And it's gone from being something no one understood, didn't even have a name for it, to it got a name, it became digital. It was very much the sort of second fiddle to everything else, to where we are now, where the word digital is sort of out of date in a way, in my mind, because everything is digital, and the reason everything is digital is because you can do such cool, interesting, immersive, engaging stuff in the digital environment today, and you can underpin it with really good data. And this is something that we talk about a huge amount at the agency now, and we've changed a lot of things because of this. Data is the most potent springboard for creativity, and it used to be a daggy, dorky, weird thing that, you know, certain people were interested in and most weren't, to something that the people that are really innovating are going, this is where it's at. Data's where it's at. Data's what drives digital. And digital, you can now do such interesting things from a brand and communication perspective.
Because there's still that old debate that you talk about art versus science in marketing and advertising all the time. And it used to very much be a kind of clash of those two things. And more it's kind of how they interweave. But it's still difficult to kind of get the two to marry up sometimes, because they're such different disciplines. They sit together so well, but an old school kind of creative doesn't talk the same language as a kind of data head or a data marketer. So how do you guys kind of figure that out? If you're talking about what you've kind of changed in the agency and how you work differently, how do you bring them together?
Well, I think one thing is just about actually kind of communicating and agreeing where you see the biggest opportunity and prioritizing that area. And it's because we kind of both know that we value what's possible through mobile, and so we therefore prioritize it in discussion and, you know, in creative presentations, and then ultimately in budget. You know, at the end of the day, we spend more of our budget on mobile, so that shows you where we've put the prioritization.
So we had our media summit last week, right? And we had a creative panel on there, and Steve Cole got up there and was sort of talking about where he sees digital and data and the role of agencies going forward. And one of the things he said was data will be at the heart of what agencies do. It'll be the heart of the creative process going forward. Do you sort of see that being where agencies will be in the future? And if so, I mean, how do you build an agency around that? How do you...
I reckon, Rachel, they're there now. The good agencies are there now. It's certainly where we're at. The whole thing hubs around data. It's the insights you can get and the understanding you can get of what your audiences are or are not interacting with your content and what the kind of experience they're choosing to have gives you that springboard to determine where you need to apply your effort, where you can maximise your impact, and where we need to be innovating and evolving beyond where we're at today.
It both drives the actual insight, but then it also drives the creative tools to respond to that insight in a way that is personalized and contextual and, you know, kind of magical for the particular moment. A lot of the work that we've done together on the Google app has been taking on board the insight of what people will be searching for in a particular place or at a particular time when something special is happening around us, and then quickly, instantly channeling that into the creative, both in mobile, and we've done it in out of home as well, where we've been able to reflect like a zeitgeist moment straight away. And people love it. You know, people really enjoy feeling like ads are part of the story of what's going on around them.
There's a really interesting balance in that, isn't there, that we've talked about quite a lot, which is this: done badly, data can enable you to stalk people. Internet.
And that's the fear. I think that's the thing the industry has to kind of work against.
It's
well,
not a good,
like
it's not a good user experience, and people see brands just sort of stalking them with sort of messages going buy, buy, buy. But when it's done really well, it creates a beautiful, wonderful experience. And things like, you know, the reactions we were getting to some of those ads where we were pushing them out, just like the we had the super site around Flinders Street Station.
Yeah.
And thinking of data in its broadest sense as well is important. The Melbourne Cup had just run. A German horse had won the Melbourne Cup, and within 20 minutes we had ads on the super sites, the digital outdoor sites. Okay, Google, how do you say "you beauty" in German? And it's just like, it's clever, it's witty, it's got personality, and it expresses what Google's all about, and beautifully expresses what the Google product, the Google search app, can provide you with, which is
and execution is very simple, but behind that it's kind of taking in a lot of complexity. But it kind of, I think the beauty of it is like when something's going really well, you don't even notice it's there.
Yeah.
So
that's,
I think,
right.
That's the thing with data. It's kind of, if you can see the path of where that data came from, what it's trying to achieve, and it's very kind of obvious, I think that's when it becomes a bit negative and stalky. But if you can kind of make the creative sort of beautiful in its execution, and it's almost seamless how it happens, that people don't even realise that there's a kind of data, complex technology engine behind it.
And they show you that they're interested because they engage more. And we saw much higher engagement on those kind of contextual ads than our norms on DoubleClick. So,
I think something that we have quite a lot of conversations about with whether it's with media agencies, with creatives, with clients, is looking at mobile and talking about how much time people are spending on mobile. But there's often still a lot of kind of criticism about the kind of the quality of creative on that screen, and that it doesn't sort of deliver or live up to what either the consumer wants or what the creative wants to do. I mean, what do you sort of think about that? Because it's a common criticism that we hear that you spend so much time on mobile, but both spend and creative doesn't live up to it.
Can I have a bit of a rant?
Sure.
Go for it.
So something that I've been banging on a bit about recently is this notion of system thinking. What we're talking about here is ecosystems. And there's many, many, many touch points in this ecosystem, and there'll be many, many executions across that whole system. When we're thinking as a creative agency, you have to think differently. You're not thinking about an ad or two or three ads that make up a campaign. You might be thinking of 1,000 or 2,000 executions that exist in this ecosystem that's going to surround our audience during the period that we're in market. You've got to have that tied together with a really strong idea. Now, the notion of that kind of idea is very different in some respects to what we refer to as a traditional idea, but it's very similar in so many others. It's got to be strong, it's got to be elastic, so that it can extend seamlessly across all these many, many executions, so they all feel part of one campaign, and every interaction is building on what you've seen to date, so that the sum is greater than the parts of the whole. And that's a big shift. That's
a
big shift.
It's not simple either. It's not easy to get your head around.
No, it's not. It's not. And that's why, I don't know if it's the right word or not, but this notion of system thinking sort of makes sense to me at the moment. I'll probably change my mind in a couple of weeks. But at this point in time, I'm calling it system thinking.
And you think that there should be more system thinking or less?
I think there should be more. I think that's what a big idea is now. It's a sort of comms ecosystem that you're creating, anchored by one core thought. That's what a modern big idea is.
I guess from our point of view, I just think the screen is smaller on a mobile. That's the only way it's lesser than a bigger screen. If you said to a creative, okay, you're going to have a smaller screen. However, you'll get time of day and location and context and movement, you know, like actual position in relation to the consumption of the message. How can that not create a more rich palette to create an ad from? I just think people aren't thinking hard enough if they think the creative opportunity is lesser on a mobile. It's simply not. The screen size is smaller, but the opportunity to create richness and meaning is so much bigger.
And a lot of advertising is in-app banner advertising. That's not the limit of mobile. The thing that's brilliant about the mobile device now is the speed you can download rich, view rich content. I watch a video on here, it happens instantly. And for those listening to the podcast, I'm holding and pointing a lot at the moment.
You have a face made for radio, Jules.
Thanks, Gary. Full of compliments. But that used to be the major barrier. The barrier was that, I remember, you know, going back to the olden days of digital where we had the sort of the walled gardens and all that. You know, you went in, you had to press the... I'm not even going to name the brand, I'm not going to. But it's a lot better now. And you can do cool stuff easily. That's what I like to think the industry generally understands that, but it sounds like there may be some
potential. Do you think there's enough of that cool mobile stuff going on?
No, you're right, there isn't. And I'm delighted that the rest of the industry hasn't quite caught on to this, because it creates a massive competitive advantage for us. So long may they be laggards.
Well, you know, a rising tide lifts all.
Hopefully the others will
as they say. Kind of moving on from some of those sort of big, broad topics about kind of what mobile does and what digital does, keeping on a kind of technology bent, we were going to sort of get you guys to talk a bit about virtual reality, which obviously Google has a big interest in, and a lot of agencies are doing stuff with. So the kind of most recent example of a brand and agencies playing in virtual reality is Myer and eBay last week launched a kind of virtual department store, and they're kind of saying it's a world first, and you can sort of shop the Myer lines through the kind of virtual headset, and you know you can put things in your basket, you can you know just be immersed in it. You have to then go back to the traditional web platform to make purchases, so it's not completely, you know, end-to-end sort of shopping to commerce through VR, but it's a really interesting, you know, way of playing with that, and I think there's a lot of brands going into VR. What do you see as the possibilities for what virtual reality can bring to brands?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And is it going to be the future that some people think that it is?
Oh, I think it's going to be super exciting. I think that the key challenge will be a classic comms planning challenge of where do you use each creative opportunity and what trade-offs do you make between scale and, you know, kind of being able to reach lots of people with the message and the powerful immersive experience that you can create. And the answer will be different at each point in the customer journey for each brand. But even just thinking about Google's ecosystem, we've launched 360 degree video on YouTube, which allows you to create, you know, fantastic immersive experiences. But if you view those experiences in a VR viewer, like in Google Cardboard, you get an even more immersive, a virtual reality experience of that. And then we've just had our I/O developer conference as well, and we've announced creation of our whole platform for virtual reality, which is called Daydream, which we're working on, and announced that just at I/O. And that's more of an ecosystem play to enable higher quality virtual reality experiences on mobile. So Google Cardboard has been all about taking a simple and delightful experience of virtual reality to as many people as possible.
And it's an amazing way to kind of dabble in that and trial it without it being a huge, huge development cost or kind of there being that barrier.
Absolutely, yeah. And there have been some really fun things that brands have done with Google Cardboard. Telstra did the New Year's Eve app that you could view in Google Cardboard. It was cool. But I think there is still an opportunity to create a more high-fidelity version of that experience, and lots of brands will be interested in that, so I'm excited to see where Daydream goes. Daydream is about the whole ecosystem, so it's about the hardware and the viewer, the software platform on Android on the next release, and also about the apps as well, so actually being able to create the content to view in that space.
Because we are still very much at the early days of kind of VR. I mean, I think probably for the last 10 or 20 years, VR has been the next big thing, but we're probably the closest that we've been to that. But it's still very early days. So I'm kind of, you know, looking at all the kind of VR things that brands do and looking at the opportunities and the things people are trying. But do you think that we're at the stage where it's still, it's a bit of a kind of faddy thing to try that isn't quite yet sort of delivering results, but almost that doesn't matter because it's about trying it?
Well, there's a fairly well-proven path that new technologies go along, and you see it with every new social platform that comes about. And there is benefit in there's the first mover advantage, where what you're creating, you will get profile publicity and engagement because it's novel. Then you'll get a number of people that will follow on with novel ideas, and some people get bored of novel because novel isn't necessarily useful. As the sort of the environment, the product matures, it's a case of going, well, hang on, if people are going to genuinely engage this, we've got to find a way for it to be useful. And it's something we've been doing a lot of work on at the agency. In fact, we're working with an awesome band at the moment on doing a music video, a VR music video, which is an experimental project. Like, it's a whole new way of creating a story.
It's breaking your brains a bit. You were talking to me just how you, it's not linear anymore.
No,
storytelling.
I got another buzzword too.
Spit it out.
It's like,
we
I'm making
buzzwords.
Up buzzwords. It was like we were talking about what does VR bring? And 10 years ago, experiential was sort of in the hot seat. Experiential was brilliant because people could engage with brands, and it cost loads of money, and 12 people came to the event, and therein lay the problem. But what VR actually does is it gives us the ability to do experiential at scale. It's scalable experiential,
yeah.
Is one view from a marketing perspective. But I think when it matures, what will happen is people will focus on experiences that you couldn't have if you didn't, because you can't be there. Or it's too dangerous to be there. Or it gives you access to things you couldn't otherwise have. And once you've got to that, then how do you tell that story? Because there's this, the whole point of the VR experience is the user's in control of what they experience. And when you're a brand...
Just for the audio, Jules is doing action. He's currently wearing a VR headset.
Just moving around in my VR world. And you're telling a story, you're creating a story where the viewer is the agent. Yet as the brand, you want to give them a certain kind of experience. You're trying to tell them a story. So how do you tell a story where they decide what happens? And there's a fair bit of complexity in that.
Competing viewpoints.
However, the degree to which you hand over control is the degree to which the viewer will find it engaging. So you want to strike that balance.
Yeah.
I mean, you ultimately
you've
need
to
deliver
your
message
to.
As
they've,
well.
They've
but
got to be in control.
You've got to let them lead, because that's what will make them find it magical, and that's why you're doing it in the first place.
And that kind of plays into almost every other aspect of marketing, that brands aren't in control anymore of what they do. They have to kind of admit that they've handed over the control and the power of their brands to
consumers. Well, I think you guide, you can't control.
Yeah.
And this is case in point.
I think you kind of create for any experience that your target audience user wants to have with you, and you manage the creation of that experience, but you have to create for all of those various different facets, basically.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's going to be complicated, isn't it?
It is complicated, but it is also fascinating. So how you figure that out. But I mean, with VR, I'm a bit of a skeptic personally on VR.
Why are you a skeptic? Are you a skeptic on the whole notion of VR,
because
or
I'm
what's being done?
British and a journalist, so I have to be kind of skeptical about most things. But I believe in the opportunities and the possibilities, and I think it's amazing technology, and the experience that you get is amazing. I don't believe that everyone will have a headset, everyone will want to be doing that, and that's the way that, like, a mainstream kind of channel. I
completely agree. Like, we talk about VR so often, but the amount of conversations I've had with my mother, for example, about VR, zero. Like, would she know VR exists?
Right.
Probably not.
But that's totally what I mean about considering the appropriate place in the journey for such an immersive experience, and why something like 360 video on YouTube is an interesting, simpler version of immersion.
That's like a gateway drug to VR.
Exactly. And you can take it to the full, the whole shebang under certain contexts, like maybe at a demo or in a physical space where you can actually give them the headset, or where you've previously handed them out. There are all ways to think about that, but one thinks there is not so much opportunity if you try and apply it at all at the wrong touch point, basically, and don't consider it for where it would be most potent and only worth creating the experience for there.
That's the, I mean, there is always an argument as to what brands VR sort of works for. So obviously the travel industry and the automotive industry are early adopters because it fits really well. But I mean, the chances of me putting on my VR headset and like mopping the floors or
I think
floor cleaner or something
aren't
that high.
We probably got to be honest and accept that the current headsets are maybe not the future. Like, they're a journey to what will be a much better future. There's something decidedly odd at times about putting, and half the videos you see on YouTube are of watching people in VR. It's a massive technological leap that we've made to get to that. Mm-hmm. And now the user experience will start to improve. And before we know it, it'll just be sewn into our eyeballs or something, or they'll become eyes.
That's what was really interesting with the daydream stuff, because I think the experience will be so much more seamless when the whole ecosystem is operating together and all the friction is removed, and then things like the improved frame rates and all a whole bunch of other technical things will just make it feel like you're actually...
So are we going to go through virtual reality all the way back to reality? And it'll just be in reality.
That's a very big existential question.
We had another few sort of comments at our media summit last week, and in some other conversations that I've had, and have quite a lot, about the balance of short-term tactical and long-term kind of brand building. And I think that the whole digital debate around this is quite interesting, because Jason Doris from Atomic 212 said that they're noticing a shift in where clients are investing their money into doing more brand building stuff because the economy is looking a bit sort of rocky over the next kind of couple of years. And so because over the last 2 years, people have invested a lot in kind of tactical digital, driving that direct return on investment that you can measure, see the results and say, this activity drove X number of sales. And so everyone's kind of focused on that. But there's a kind of a realization that because of that focus, kind of brand building and brand values and brand sort of measures are dropping off. So there's almost a switch back to that. So I'm just kind of interested in your perspective, what you're seeing from clients and where that debate really lies, because you can't just do one or the other. But where's the kind of emphasis? And are you seeing similar trends?
There always has to be a blend of brand building and direct response. The two are not mutually exclusive. And if you're only doing awareness communications without any conversion drivers, you will get so far. If you're purely harvesting without building awareness, your funnel will dry out. So you've got to get the two right. It's the mix of the two that can be challenging. Like, that's, art and science. Science will get you so far, but there's going to be dependencies like what your creative is. We've certainly in the past run brand ads, inverted commas, that have had massive direct response. Like a good ad, a good piece of creative connects with the audience, and if you've got the right message, they will respond to it.
It does its job.
It's back to the basics. I feel quite strongly about this point that brand and response don't need to be as separate as they often are in people's minds.
Yeah.
Branded response, or BRETEL, which is communications...
That's another great buzzword.
I couldn't help... I'm sorry, I tried to... I love it. BRETEL.
We love a portmanteau here.
I was trying to say something clever. Branded response. You can drive response and build brand at the same time. It's totally possible. And again, it's back to thinking, it's good creative. Good creative does that.
That's often it's a hard conversation to have. Marketers find themselves having that conversation with the boards and the financial directors to do something that is doesn't have a direct ROI. Not really articulating my question, but do you see what I mean in terms of, we're going to do this brand ad.
But a crap brand ad won't give you good results. So you can measure it or not measure it, but if it's a crap piece of creative, it won't shift behaviours. And that, again, being lazy, whatever channel you put it in, it doesn't matter where you put it. If it's not good, it won't drive results. The reality today, back to the system thinking, there's going to be a lot of executions, but tied together by one idea.
Mm.
And some will be more response drivers, some will be more brand oriented.
Mm. Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for coming in today and taking the time. I hope that you enjoyed that.
Thanks for having us for a chat.
Thank you for the drinks.
We will hopefully see you again soon. Thank you so much.
Cool. Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.